warmest greetings to the person listening to our conversation, wherever you may be today. I'm Rob Christie. I've been involved in growth and transformation for decades. I've had the privilege of working with many great teachers. I'm with one of them this morning. His name is Jim Hamilton. He's my dear friend. He's the author of 5 books. And even more important than those 5 great books, Jim's perfected a couple of technologies that have been proven to support any person who's looking to make meaningful change in his or her life. Before we got to this particular conversation this morning, Jim and I have been talking about a concept called exponential multipliers. In a nutshell, that's things that Jim's encountered that show the possibility to take something and multiply it exponentially for the benefit of humankind. And in the last segment, we talked about a wonderful article he had discovered that went back 400 years and showed invention after invention after invention that turned out having been invented simultaneously by one or more parties. What does that tell us? That tells us that the source for those inventions was not the individual process of one person, but acquiring the capacity to tune into the universe and get that signal that was out there and available for more than one person. And of course, that particular article centered on inventions. But isn't there more to say about what happens to a human being who succeeds in quieting his, her mind, and thus acquiring the ability to tune into those signals? What are the implications for that person's business, financial well-being, health, fitness, relationships, sex, and one's connection with God, source, however you care to describe that? And how does that land in your world?
Yeah, Rob, it's a good reflection. It's interesting. So what it really boils down to is humans, we think we're the end all be all. And, you know, we've got automobiles. You know, I drive a nice car. It's a pleasure to drive a nice car. There's so many things we have, and we make assumptions, I guess you might say, about our own self-importance. We can look at what we've done as a species. We can also look at the incredible damage we've done. But we're not whole on our own. Now, I'm going to give you, I'm going to go risky here and make a remark. There's a lot of people, and it's a fair remark, and I think ultimately it's not accurate because it's metaphorical. We talk about people being heart-centered, and they make assumption, and heart-centered is feeling-based, it's kindness-based, it's not mind-based, and I will admit mind is a poor tool, and so the alternative is traditionally heart-centered. But people then make the assumption that the heart, the physical heart, has something to do with heart-centered. And again, heart-centered is metaphorical because when people talk about being heart-centered, that doesn't have a regard for the frequency of God. Heart-centered means, well, I'm heart-centered, and that still seems to suggest that you're on your own. Well, I'm heart-centered. And what I've come to see is that the nervous system is a center because it receives the frequency of God. It's a sensing out and receiving back is what we do. Our ears have a 1-inch connection to the brain. Our eyes, the pathway between the information coming in through the eyes and sensing out, that's a 1-inch pathway. Touch or taste and smell, they're directly, the brain is the center for all of that sensing, for all the calculations of all that sensing. And my point is that heart-based is metaphorical because what heart felt actually is the nervous system resonating in a certain manner, because the nervous system will tell you everything you need to know about whether something is true or not. Abraham Hicks talks about when you have a thought or what you focus on expands, that not only do you want to put your mind on what you want to focus on, but you want to listen or feel for the feeling that's associated with thought, because the feeling is actually more information than the thought itself, but they go together. And so, and that's all nervous system driven. And so the more you are true to yourself, the more the nervous system quiets down, the more sensing the nervous system does. And that's how the whole thing opens up. And I'm not against mind, pardon me, heart-centered. I do believe it's metaphorical because it's actually the nervous system. And I know people have a hard time with this, but we have to realize that heart-centered does not have a reflection with how we're part of the cosmos. Heart-centered usually has us still standing on our own. And that's the effort I'm trying to go to explain that we're not here on our own whatsoever. And the nervous system and the microtubules and the neurons and how this work is a mechanical understanding of our connection with source. And as a species, and there becomes more of us every generation, where we have more ability than ever before to have some free time to make meditation part of our day, to have the discipline to meditate every day. I used to, as a yacht broker, I used to probably meditate before I went to work every day. I don't really remember that so much, but that's when I used to meditate when I get out of the shower. So it always was. And then I would meditate at lunchtime, sit out in my car and meditate and recollect my centeredness for the second half of my day because I was on commission. But the point is, the humans have to learn how to quiet down internally, and in doing so, their natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. And what we've seen from the Maharishi effect is the more people plugged into source, the more they contribute to the overall whole of mankind. Because as we become coherent within, for which our connection shows up, we then become resonant without. So as we become coherent, we then become resonant with the world, and that's how we express out of us what we've learned how to devise, which is the collection of the frequency of God by sensing out and receiving it and having a refined and quieted nervous system so that that expresses through us with no distortion back out into the world. So we are a fancy mechanism for God expressing through us. That is the bottom line. And as we get into larger groups of humans that start operating like this, there becomes a collective consciousness or a collective expression. Like I say, the frequency of God peaking out of our nervous systems, coalescing as coherence, and coherence dissipating disorder. Because coherence is a type of governance. And so our nervous system is our center. It's the tool that we use to ground the frequency of God into the world. And as we come to understand that, we become exponential. And making a world of a better place is available. I don't know. I don't think there's any other way. I think that's it. not because it's my idea, but you look at nature. Nature is very, a tree plugged into source, plugged into its connection. A tree is a receiver. It might produce apples and do different things, but it's very subject to the sun and the cycles, and it's a reflection of its surroundings. And we need to learn how to plug into that. And then we become true. The world becomes a better place. It's actually, I believe that's how it works.
Addressing our audience members this morning, as Jim has just done, perhaps you were drawn here today because you have a personal challenge. Might be in your career, might be in your financial affairs, might be in one of your relationships. Might be in your health, might be in your fitness, or perhaps you were drawn here today because you've gotten to the point in your life where you want to make a difference. You can see what's happening in the world. And if you agree with us, it's 11 o'clock and we got till midnight to turn this ship around. And what I've learned from Jim is it really doesn't matter which of those two people you are. The person drawn here because of a personal challenge, or a person drawn here because you want to make a difference. Because what I've learned from Jim is the answer's the same. There's only one road to take if you fall into either of those two categories. If you don't gain dominion over your mind and the capacity to relax and allow, nothing's going to work. Ultimately, there will still be challenges. You will still be scratching your head or wondering what to do next. Well, brothers and sisters, I got good news for you. The guy I'm talking to this morning has a couple of proven technologies he's prepared to share with you at what I regard as a bargain price that will allow you to relax, that will allow you to quiet your mind, that will allow you to receive that guidance without which, nothing else makes sense. Jim, would you share with our audience a few things about those technologies and how they support people in gaining dominion over the mind, quieting the mind, and moving up the map of consciousness?
You know, it's interesting. Dominion over the mind is not to make you more powerful by having dominion over the mind. I mean, the discipline of meditation is very powerful, and maybe as powerful as the discipline of doing it is as powerful as the meditation itself. But you want discipline over the mind because the more discipline you have over the mind, it becomes more available to let go of. That's what the discipline of the mind is about. It's not about getting everybody running on all 12 cylinders, all the different parts of your mind running on all 12 cylinders so you can be more efficient. As I promise you, the mind, once you learn to access presence, the mind, you'll see the mind ain't that fancy of a tool. It's linear, it's restricted to what it knows as it projects forward, it competes with intuition for the most part. And so, letting go of the mind's a big game. Before I go on to what you're asking me, I'd like to remark that I've touched on this. I think I was writing chapter 11 or 12 of Visionaries Thrive in All Times, and I came across a fact that interested me and surprised me. I was writing about precession of the equinox and this and that and Egyptian and whatever. And what I came to realize is, first off, you've got the Ten Commandments as we know them now. I think they go back 2,500 years, real round numbers. I'm not a biblical person or even religious. But the Ten Commandments came from Moses. He went up on Mount somewhere, Mount Ararat, I don't know. That's anyway. He went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, I don't know. And he came down with the Ten Commandments. But what's interesting is that Moses was Egyptian. I think he came out of a basket in the reeds. This is, Sunday school about a trillion years ago. But what's interesting about Egyptian knowledge is that the Book of the Dead, that was written by Thoth, supposedly, and I don't know that much about that. I did have an attraction to Thoth at one time, and that's pretty old stuff. But the Book of the Dead, the older it is, the older the hieroglyphics, the higher the quality of the hieroglyphics. And my point is that the equivalent of the Ten Commandments was always in the Book of the Dead. And so when Moses introduced the Ten Commandments, that's an earlier knowledge and an earlier set of rules. And the Book of the Dead goes back at least 8,000 years. And the first commandment, and yes, in the Book of the Dead, it was slightly different. But the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm not talking religious, and we need to move away from the religious version of that. But our attention and our focus needs to be on our connection with Source, first and foremost. And you'd be surprised how many people, their first and foremost connection is on money, except when it's April and they got to pay their taxes, and their connection is on the IRS or this or that. And we've lost so much sight of what's true. The government is a type of governance, and the humans inadvertently started to use the word cower. I could do better than that. They hide under the skirts of the government because that's the type of governance, and they would rather do that than stand on their own and stand in their power. Because government properly only has authority over artificial entities. Need to dig into that a little bit. Government has authority over what it creates. It does not create human beings. Human beings should be looking to God for their governance. Corporations and LLCs and whatever should be looking to the state for their governance. And that's something to be looked at right there. But as the humans come to discover their nature and discover that their governance comes from their connection with Source, that's how we step into our power. And that's what I teach about. And Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light is a great example. And it's because not only have I de did I develop it at a really powerful time, but I've continued to revise it. I continue to use it. Last July, it's 100 lessons, and you do a lesson every day. That's not to say that you'll do it in 100 days, because you miss days and this and that, and that's not a problem. But what you want to do is saturate your mind with a certain type of thinking. And when you saturate your mind with a certain type of thinking based on these affirmations and the soaring affirmation variation, that which I touched on earlier, you can simplify your broadcast and actually make your broadcast coherent. Because I don't care if you're raging at somebody or in deep meditation or deep peace or in, what's the term when you're sitting around and you got flowers around you and you're in the forest and you're in this state of profound peace, you're still broadcasting out. And when you broadcast out, of course, you get back what you get. So the higher quality your broadcast, the more your connection with Source becomes enabled. And of course, your reality creating cleans up based on the quality of your broadcast, which means your next bout of allowing becomes more available because what you're broadcasting is creating your reality, which makes it easier to allow, which makes it easier to allow. And as your reality creating becomes easier to allow, you create realities that are more in sync, which become easier. And so allowing, and that's how it grows. So harnessing the mind is ultimately about letting the mind go. but we can use it very effectively, and we move into access to guidance light, and then from there it's another step into pure guidance. So I do recommend the prosperity or soaring affirmations, prosperity and guidance light. But then there's core resonance, which is a really fancier tool for doing the same thing. It's a little bit more costly because it's meant to be owned and shared by six people in a graphically relatively like inside of an organization. Inside the core resonance inside of a company, I call that Taproot by Core Resonance. And what you do is you learn how to quiet the nervous system with neurofeedback. My neurofeedback is quite different from traditional neurofeedback. We learn how to let the brain discover itself through the hardware software. And as the brain discovers itself, kind of like a technology mirror, the brain cleans itself up. And as the brain cleans itself up, as it becomes more efficient, the brain quiets down. As a nervous, the brain quiets down as part of the nervous system, your connection with source becomes enabled. And it's much easier for your connection with source to become enabled when you quiet the nervous system. And by the way, when this connection is enabled by quieting the brain and the nervous system, the mind will relent to that connection because normally the mind will not give itself up. It sees itself as a guard dog for brain on overload. And Taproot by Core Resonance in particular, when six people share the ownership of the equipment, you can rapidly bump up the map of consciousness because we can dissipate the overload and the distortion in the brain so the rigidity drops away and allowing grows. And as allowing grows, our connection with source is what we've been talking about. As allowing grows, we become blended with source. More blended with source, the more innate intelligence leaks out of us, coalesces as coherence, and coherence dissipates distortion. But the point becomes, in this environment of six people sharing the ownership of core resonance inside of an organization, we ground coherence into the foundation of that organization, that company, that green company, that NGO, that social organization, because otherwise, what you have is minds trying to run the show, and minds, they bring hangovers, they bring arguments with somebody, they bring all their stuff with them. And what you really want when you have an organization is you want a real clean center, because particularly in a business environment, we're massively influential about the quality of our products, and even as we become coherent as a company, we have a better quality of customer we attract. And so the point becomes, as we learn how to understand this governance and learn how to plug into it, it has a huge influence not only in our lives, but our outpourings and our contribution. And the idea of being what I call usefully influential and exponentially so, I don't know how I came up with all this stuff. I'm here, I am on this planet. I've been doing what I call extra innings. This whole lifetime has been, I've not done anything traditional. I didn't retire at 55 years old or 60 years old. I've retired at 30. I've been chasing what's interesting to me. And here I am, five books, 180 articles, two or three or four technologies. And it turns out it's about grounding the frequency of God into the world. Our nervous system is that center. As we quiet that nervous system, that connection becomes enabled. God peeks out the nervous system of us as groups of people, coalesces as coherence, coherence dissipates distortion. I can't fathom anything more interesting. I've already had a 40-foot sailboat. That was a lot of fun. But interacting with people and learning about grounding the frequency of God into the world, there's your excitement. There's your true excitement. That's the true fun. That's what we're here for. And letting that flow through us with no distortion.
If an audience member is intrigued by what he or she has heard this morning, or has questions, or would like to sign up for Soaring Affirmations or one of your other opportunities, how do they do so?
Well, they can go straight to the website and find the Soaring Affirmations page, which is coreresonance.com/soaringaffirmations with a hyphen. They can go to visionarieslab.com, which is actually a mini website within Core Resonance, and there's four or five pages associated with all that. Core Resonance itself. And you could also contact me through my website, coreresonance.com/contact, set up a Zoom call. I've got somebody I'm talking with tomorrow that we had to bump our call from today. Actually, it's Friday, but inquiring minds, and I'm happy to speak with anybody. In fact, I love to talk to people that have curiosity about these kinds of conversations and see how I can shed some light on their path and making a world a better place. I don't know, how much money can you accumulate? How many new cars? How cool a sound system can you have after you've got all of that, and maybe before? So we need to be thinking about, and some of us are naturally inclined toward this, making the world a better place. We start by walking by a bus stop and smiling at somebody and finding somebody smiles back, and that's just as helpful, but we can do it exponentially, and that's what Core Resonance and Visionaries Lab's all about.